Introduce the podcast.
Welcome to Light Bulb Moments with your host, ESP, the embroidered Padawan of knowledge. That was good.
This nigga crazy. Awesome Neil. Listen to the damn show. Hey, welcome to another moment of the light, another episode, another moment of the light of the moment. No.
Yep. Welcome to another episode of Light Bulb Moment.
Yo, welcome to another episode of the Light Bulb Moment. It's your boy, Awesome Neil.
It's me, ESP. Welcome back. We've got an exciting episode this time.
Yes, we do, because we talk about some shit that we really know about. Because we live that life.
Gamer life.
What life?
Get into it. Gamer life.
Gamer life. Gamer life.
So let's have a conversation.
We are going to have a very interesting conversation. Because today we will be discussing and breaking down what it is to be a gamer, our experiences as gamers and ex-gamer, as I would like to consider myself, console gamer that is, and just the effects in a positive and a negative area, like, you know, how they've affected our lives overall.
Yeah,
and both those
being dimensions. Addicted, being stuck in the virtual world, but gamer, not only that, but just the misconceptions.
Yeah,
there's a lot of misconceptions about gamers, and also you might be a gamer too and not realize it.
Ooh.
So, yeah, let's get into it.
Egg in your face.
All right, before we even get into that, I'm going to let you kick this one off because you started a little bit earlier than I did. But, like, talk about your
first experience. I felt like you just called me old on the slip.
I mean, I was trying to be,
No, bitch. Don't be, nah, bitch, just call me old on the slip. Fuck. No,
but no, you started in the 80s. I started in the 90s.
How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Bitch calling me old. Try to slap that.
Not old, seasoned. You're a more seasoned gamer than I am.
Bitch, I ain't no Tony Sashers or no fucking Miss Morgans.
What was your first video game, I see?
Nintendo.
The first one?
That I could think of. I don't recall Atari. I know gaming history as far as like we just discussed, like Nintendo wasn't the first home video game. Actually, gaming goes back into the 60s. This is something that a lot of people don't realize. So if you think about the pinball machines, does it go back further than that?
No, I think it was 1969. I might be dead wrong, but I know it's right around that time. And then in the 1970, 1971 is really when the
pinball era.
Yeah, but it was really, really just Pong. Like, people would line up just to go see a ball move back and forth across the screen. Like, and then we got the Magnavox, right? 1972, I believe.
Magnavox audio was the home.
And that's what brought it to the homes.
And then Atari came out in the late 70s, early 80s.
Yep, then we got Atari. And then you got Star Wars and all that cool stuff that popped off with Atari. And then
The Nintendo,
which is where you came in.
Yeah, I'm an 80s baby. All day, early 80s. Yeah, man, it started with Mario. And to be very honest with you, I didn't have my own home console. I played by other people's house, like babysitters. The babysitters had it. And I just remember sitting watching them because the shit was just too intense.
Yeah.
And then my real introduction to gaming was the Nintendo Game Boy. My mom bought a Game Boy and we used to sit around and play the small Mario game. It was stupid old. And then Tetris. Tetris was mine.
Yeah, Tetris was popping too. I remember when I was like really young, my mom used to be on it heavy. But yeah.
And I was one of those, I guess that's where some of my instant gratification comes from. But the thing about Tetris was, which a lot of people didn't know, was once you got past a certain score, you created cinematic screens of different Russian rockets that would take off. And in certain modes, if you beat it, it was interesting because you got to actually see a space shuttle. I don't know why that was so fascinating, but to just see the different the Rockets get bigger as you get higher in school. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was always about creating Tetrises, because do you know what a Tetris is in a game of Tetris?
No. Nope. You know, Tetris was not really my thing, but...
Yeah, that's right. I forgot you're not a strategic fucking game.
Mm-mm. I'm not a strategic. I'm more of a RPG. I like to be immersed into this shit.
You want to get away. You're trying to escape.
But explain that. What is a Tetris in a Tetris for people that
in the
don't
game,
know?
In the game of Tetris?
Yeah, what does that actually
mean? To get
a
four-line square. To get a complete four-line stack. That's Tetris. Mm.
Never knew.
Because think about it, Tetris, you can get one line,
yeah,
two line, yeah, three line. You can get stuck if you got a hole. But to keep everything solid and make one full four-line slot and take out a full four-line block, that's Tetris. So basically, you would have to stack up until you got a solid line, and you would have to curve your stuff so that it never got... Then you got the solid line, and it was Tetris. And you got the most points for Tetris, light bulb moment of the day.
That sounds like so much fun compared to running through, like, you know, a field. Just
it was adrenaline, because you got to understand, on top of that, this is why I know my attention span was bad, because I got tired of the progression that I had to get to the box, the blocks where they weren't, you know, it started off slow.
Yeah.
As you hit levels, they started dropping faster. And I was like, yo, that's too much. I mean, it's too slow. So after a while, I would just play Tetris on the hardest level because I need the blocks coming out as fast as possible. Because that's how my brain was going. It was like, and I would be seeing that shit. But then it was Tetris. I couldn't do Mario. Mario was nerve-wracking because the thing about Mario was it was a rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
You have to rinse and repeat to figure out what the correct warp zones, path, and all that kind of shit to get through the game. That was Mario was a maze with
pretty much
2D dead ends.
Yeah. You just kind of had to memorize the level to get through it. I ain't had time for that shit either.
I ain't had time for that
shit. See, and that's my first, my very first memory, I think, of video games. My grandmother had like a Super Nintendo or something in the house.
Ooh.
Whichever one had Duck Hunt. Duck Hunt.
That's Nintendo. Remember.
Yeah, Nintendo. Okay, it was the regular Nintendo. Well, I always gravitated more towards the Duck Hunt than I did Mario.
Yeah, you like putting the gun up to the screen.
Yeah, like I was straight up just being
everybody
there.
Cheated.
I've always been that. No, I didn't like the cheat. Like, my cousins did that shit, and I would be so upset. Like, no, that's not how you play. You got, you know what I mean? But even still, just the concept of, like, the type of gamer that I am had already, like, really developed there. Because I didn't like to play the Tetris or Mario or, like, anything puzzle-based. I wanted to go and fuck shit up. Like, that's the type of gamer I am. That's the type of role I play in any RPG, any MMORPG, anything like that. I'm always the person that's gonna run.
Nigga, you a mage.
Yeah,
you're
I'm a mage.
Healer. You're a healer.
Absolutely.
But no, because Nintendo came out in 84, 85, if I'm correct. So I was only like maybe 3-4 years old by the time the Nintendo came out.
Okay.
So Game Boy came out like the end of the 80s. Like I think it was 88, 89, something like that.
Interesting.
Because the next Super Nintendo came out in like 90, 91. And that was like going from elementary school to junior high.
I see the 90s was elementary school for me because I got my PlayStation. I had the PlayStation, Nintendo 64. Those are like what I spent my actual childhood on. Like, so yeah.
See, I was seasoned already. I already start breaking down games like Metroid. Mm-hmm. For people who are too young or too old or who don't know, man, this is the reason my brain works the way it does. Because these games required so much
logic.
Thought and logic and technical skills to get through them. There was a Metroid on my Game Boy, and I couldn't beat that bitch when I first got it. I got frustrated. Like, I'm talking about just put it away, almost in the archives. Found it like maybe 2 years later after I had played a few more games and ran through that bitch. Then mastered it to the point where, like, keep in mind, it took me days and months to beat it the first time. Got it to the point where if you could beat it in 30 minutes, you could see what she looked like outside of the suit. And that was the big allure. Who the fuck was under the suit?
Yeah, okay. Wow, I never knew that either. That's crazy.
So if you beat it in a certain time frame, she would come up out of the suit. So you had to know where everything was that was detrimental to you getting to the end. Like, you didn't need all the upgrades, but you needed the
You had to get there.
And it had to be on your path.
Okay.
Instead of doing all that running back and forth.
Short history lesson on Zero Suit Samus.
Yeah, man. That was a secret. Nobody knew. Like, all the magazines, everything, you know, Nintendo and shit kept it a secret. Like, they kind of didn't want you to know that Samus was a woman.
Like, Parappa the Rapper was my shit, too, on PlayStation. I don't know if you ever played that, but...
Yeah, I'm familiar with Parappa.
Oh, my God. When I was a kid?
That shit was crazy.
Bro, what?
Yeah, he probably did think that shit was fly.
And then when I found out it was a secret mission at the end, like, if you play it to a certain percentage, like, you get a certain percentage, and then me being musically inclined, I, like, accidentally fell into the secret, like, the secret shit at the end. Man...
Space Invaders.
My cousins was upset.
Atari really was the big thing, though, man. Atari set everything up.
Atari,
Space
yeah.
Space Invaders and Pong, mm-hmm. Centipede, Millipede, all those different names that kind of went into the arcade.
I had an Atari in my house, and I never appreciated it for, like, what it was. I think I would, if I could still, I might, like, would have went back and played Star Wars and then compare it to now, how the Star Wars games are and shit, like...
But gaming gave us something to do, and back then, you had to be around people to game. If you game together, so it was a form of bonding and recreation, and it kind of kept you from getting into real crazy scenarios and shit. Like, I
bonding over little bits and bytes and lines on the screen.
Bruh, but still, I mean, it was a challenge. It was like, cool. Yo, I can get this far. Can you beat, or can you progress or get a higher score than me? That's what it was in our case. That's what it's always been. Mm-hmm. That's what it is to the day. I mean, to this day.
Shout out to my mom, because she is not even a gamer, but you put her on that Galactica game or whatever that thing is.
But a Galactica with a dude, that's what Space Invaders was like. With your dude,
everybody,
and you gotta shoot the fucking things, ding 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 ding. Because I understand that's her. Okay, that's almost her brain functions on that 2D dimension when it comes to that. Man, if you put a 3-dimensional game in her hand, she's gonna lose her shit.
Yeah, probably. But yeah.
But then, 90s came Super Nintendo.
Yep.
That was cool. That was the introduction to just a new joystick, more options, the graphics improvement. That was the introduction to the new version of Mario, Yoshi, all these other characters. They recreated Super Mario World.
90s was a great decade for gaming. Like, 90s was
it. Also, what Super Nintendo did was Super Nintendo pulled kids out of the arcade and kept them in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because the competition between... Okay, before you were... Everybody who's listening is probably old enough to remember this shit. But arcades were really big from the 70s going into the 90s. Going into the late 90s and the early 2000s, they start crashing with the introduction of the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Because the arcade graphics can no longer compete with the consoles when they're at home.
Crash
so
Man
nobody wants to go to
up.
The fucking arcade and pay for some shit that looked better on the shit at home than what you was getting in the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you were spending more money in the arcade. But we didn't realize that was our form of socializing. It was a place, like... The arcade was the fucking spot. That was the club for kids.
Yeah.
It was something for young people to do, teenagers and young adults alike, for everybody to mingle and just be competitive and, you know what I'm saying? You get to hang out and there's no real adult supervision because there's no need. I mean, there's the adults in the arcade, but you don't need your parents over your shoulder. And it also got your children outside because after they finish the arcade, you walk, you did whatever, but you were out of the fucking house.
Yeah.
Out of the room. You got some sunlight. You were mobile.
I was literally about to say that might just be a great way to tie in the fact that it was probably a lot healthier back then, the gaming community, as far as the social aspect, versus now, after the 2000s, we got these online, like, now nobody leaves the spot.
On top of that, the level of violence, like I'm not knocking the shit they're making for games, because they got to compete with movies, entertainment, because it's pretty much a form of entertainment at this point.
It is, yeah.
So
absolutely.
They had to compete, and they had to keep progressing and growing and becoming bigger. But back then, the game, the suspension of disbelief was way bigger between video games then and now. Mortal Kombat fucked that shit up.
Mortal Kombat came out the
Mortal Kombat was the introduction. Let's go straight into it. Mortal Kombat was the introduction of fuckery when it comes to video games.
Yep.
Yanking motherfuckers' hearts out of their chest, punching their heads off. We was ruined. Like, that shit was game over.
Yeah.
Like, game over. Mm-hmm. And you went to the arcade for Mortal Kombat to see somebody, and then that's when you start seeing like Smash TV and all those games with cats. But the game just became way more violent and volatile. But at the same time, it shit just wasn't realistic. It wasn't a lot of motherfuckers doing martial arts yanking people.
Yeah,
so obviously. Still, the suspension was there versus the shooters that we have now, where it's just like all the time. But I mean, but think about it. Even though shooters started in an arcade.
Yeah, I mean,
with the big ass gun that you picked up and you had in your hand, you shot
fucking Duck Hunt.
Duck Hunt, original fucking shooter.
Duck Hunt,
the first shooter.
That was my shit.
First person shooter. You shot that bitch in first person at the screen. So, man, they need to come up with a peripheral like that for one of these damn games, man. I ain't gonna lie. Think about it. A Bluetooth damn gun for shooting games.
You know what? Or like the VR, maybe. VR. That's...
Ew.
I would absolutely play that kind of VR.
Ew.
I probably would be.
Not to get off subject. But yeah, that's just the brief history where I started. That's where my gaming world came from. It was more about puzzles and strategy and memorizing and mazes. Even the original Resident Evil PlayStation, that's when shit changed for me. I didn't initially get into PlayStation because my mom wasn't into buying all that shit. I used to get it from my aunt. Mm. But, when I had access to one, and I finally got access to one consistently, Resident Evil was like a game changer for everything. That was the original survival horror. That was the game that it was no longer about just memorizing a maze and having and shooting some magical beams. It was like, we're gonna put you in the spookiest situation ever and then give you limited resources.
And press you.
Impress the hell out. I mean, yo, you know what my original online gaming experience was?
What?
Me and my homeboy on the phone, sitting on the phone.
Yeah.
Talking on the phone while we playing the game at the same time. Like, nigga, where you at? Where you at the mansion? Oh, I already been through that. How you beat that? Why I had this? How you got that?
For sure.
He was playing the director's cut. Mm. I was playing the original. His director's cut came with extra shit that might, like... Oh, like, he would get a little bit more ammo and shit than I would get. So, it made it a little bit easier for him. So, it was crazy. But that was the one that changed gaming as we know it. Mortal Kombat was cool with the violence. It introduced the gore aspect. Mm-hmm. But Resident Evil and Tomb Raider, the three-dimensional space.
Tomb Raider was my shit, too. I couldn't beat that shit because I was too young. But I used to play the fuck out that first cave level.
That and the Nintendo 64 with GoldenEye shooters.
Oh, GoldenEye too. My cousin had that joint. And like,
the 3D Mario. Even Street Fighter went three-dimensional for a little while. Mm. Like Street Fighter. It was Street Fighter EX. All the games kind of started evolving more when the PlayStation came out because the arcade set the premise for what console put out. Like, there were console games that were cool. Like Ninja Gaiden and stuff that you wouldn't get up. But the graphics of Ninja Gaiden, because Ninja Gaiden was in the arcade also.
Yeah.
And the look and the appeal, the cinematics and everything that the screen gave you in the arcade was just like, that's what drew you. Like, it was like having a little, playing a movie in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
You would go watch a movie and then go to the arcade and play a movie. So it's constant entertainment and stimulation, plus we didn't realize the dopamine coming from.
Yeah.
Which we'll talk about later. But
interesting.
That's what the arcade did when the PlayStation came out and the Nintendo 64.
Yeah,
Nintendo that's 64. When shit changed because the graphics of the Nintendo, like, for instance, Killer Instinct Nintendo 64 look almost identical to Killer Instinct arcade. So it's like, why do I need to go to arcade when I can play this all the time at my home?
That's why my dad was so... he was so stingy with Nintendo 64. But, that's... Shit, I got into all that stuff when I was young. I didn't start my adult gaming journey until Elder Scrolls. My uncle introduced me to Elder Scrolls. And that was like my first... I think it might have been Xbox.
Just Xbox. Not one, because, okay. So you can, to explain to people, at this point, we are in the fourth generation of Xbox. Yep, it's Xbox, yeah. Xbox 360, Xbox One, and it's about to be the Xbox Scion, Super, Ultra, Mega.
You know what? It was Xbox, because I also played Fable around that time, too. So that was my first experience, like, having an RPG and actually doing the RPG shit. I think before, I was just playing games like fucking Crash Bandicoot, Pokemon, you know, kitty shit. So I didn't really get into Resident Evil and Metroid and things that actually required thought until...
Yeah, but Nintendo is what projected gaming to the mainstream, because Nintendo had movies. Remember he had the Power Kid or something? It was a movie that was based around a kid who was trying to make it to the Nintendo tournament. And it was also their platform to introduce Super Mario 2, because they had this... Nintendo had the original VR hand... wireless control or something. They had a glove. I'm lying, it was a glove. Power glove. You ever seen the power glove?
I know.
Nigga, YouTube the power glove. I'm not playing. Nintendo, okay, before there was the Wiimote.
Yeah.
It was the power glove. You would put the glove on, it had a joystick piece. Like, nigga, some futuristic shit, but it was a glove in your hand that you put, and you were supposed to be able to control the shit on the screen with the glove. This was like the late 80s or
My time.
This wasn't even the 90s. This was before Super Nintendo.
Before my time.
Yes. Nintendo had the power glove. Nintendo had the first CD-ROM. They had a robot thing. Like, it was a whole...
I mean, Nintendo, honestly, is probably one of the only... You can't really compete or put Nintendo against any other.
No, Nintendo has its own lane. Household
name. Because whatever freaking... nanotechnology they put into that Switch is amazing. And there's no other portable, nobody can got it. Nintendo just has it.
Everything levels out and I get my internet back, I'm gonna get me a Nintendo Switch. Like, do you need internet, or is it required?
No
if you I'm going by me
buy the physical copy of games, like, no,
that's it. Okay, so but Xbox and PlayStation, well, PlayStation, because Xbox wasn't around yet. PlayStation changed everything. It fucked up. They shook the game up for Nintendo and Sega, because Nintendo and Sega were the competition. It was kind of like Nintendo and Sega were your way of playing what you played in an arcade at home. It was the closest thing. And then PlayStation came out and just changed, because they were introducing CD-ROMs instead of cartridges. Because the original games played cartridges. Like, it had the chip inside of it, and you put the game in, and
you read the chip. Yeah, shit, you had to blow
then on. You got the CD-ROM, it was faster, right? And then they had the CD-ROM, it was a little bit faster, it was clean. I don't even say it's cleaner, but it was able to hold information and process stuff. That's what the PlayStation gave us, and that's why you had better graphics on the PlayStation than what you were getting in the arcade. Then, Nintendo, ironically, you want to hear something? I can't remember the company that came up with the PlayStation, but they introduced the PlayStation to Nintendo first. The concept of ideas of using this and moving from PlayStation said no. I mean, Nintendo said no. This is actually going, like, we don't see how that would work. Like, because they had actually tried it before. It didn't have success, I'm assuming, because I remember it was this little, it was a robot. Go back and look up original Nintendo CD robot ROM.
What?
It's a little, remember how they used to have the toys and it would be like a little robot man and he would see a tape deck in his chest? Yeah, I think it would move the CDs around and actually play. But, and then Sega actually tried it with Sega CD. And that didn't even really, but they didn't use three-dimensional graphics. Sega CD was using live action mechanics. Like, Mortal Kombat was live action to a degree. So they were trying to use the live Mortal Kombat approach with the live action, put it on the CD-ROM, so on and so forth. And they didn't have success. So PlayStation comes along, Nintendo denies it. Sony comes along, I don't remember how. No, whoever created it sold it to Sony. And Sony came out with the Sony PlayStation, got in the video game run. And gave Nintendo a run for their money. And if you want to be honest, was one of the main causes of Sega going under, because it was Sega then went into the Dreamcast era.
Yeah.
Dreamcast was beast though.
It was, but nobody.
It was beast. No, niggas was copying, because this is before they had patent disc and what do you call it when people would just burn shit?
Where you can just rip shit off?
Yeah, people was like ripping, like hacking the shit and then ripping, like come up with a hack disk, download that shit, put it into your whatchamacallit, play it in there, and you can just download games off the internet and put it in, just burn it in the CD-ROM and get your own games.
Wow.
And they couldn't make no money because anyone who knows anything about video gaming knows the company doesn't make money off a console.
Right.
Consoles usually cost quick way money. More than...
Yeah.
No, it's no quick money.
You the console?
For every console made, it's usually more expensive than the actual price they're going for. And I'm going to only speak in the realm that I know, but from maybe the Nintendo and the original Xbox and the Xbox Ones and the PlayStations.
Yeah.
The software and stuff that it goes like... Because remember, they had like Blu-ray CD players and stuff. That's a whole nother... And Blu-rays were like $300, $400 at that point in time. And different, all those different compartments and stuff. That shit costs more to put in the actual game and the manufacturing of the console than it was the kickback you was paying for it. So they were losing. If you pay $500 to make that motherfucker and you're only selling it for three, you're losing money every time you make one, homie. Using $200 on every console.
So that's why they got shit like, well, if you want to use it all the way, you got to pay every month. You got to... That's where the microtransactions come in.
No.
In the game transactions.
That's where they start figuring out other ways of making revenue within this.
Yeah.
The actual money back in the day were the extra the accessories.
Yeah.
And the video games. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Nintendo was going to make profit. There was no middleman for them. Think about it. There were no third-party... you had the companies that developed the games, but they sold the games. So the only person they had to pay was the person who helped create the design. Mm. Once, whatever they distribute, they made money off of distribution. And a lot of the games were made in-house. Mm. So you're a drug dealer, dude. You make the drugs in-house, and you just really got to pay the niggas who chop it up for you and cook it and help you get it straight. And then you take your product you make in-house with these third-party cats who help you, and you go out to the streets. You make a straight profit. Hmm. But you're losing money on the cost of manufacturing your product.
I never knew that. That is... Okay. Well. So I see why everything's so fucking expensive.
Yeah, that's why everything's so expensive.
Yeah.
That's why everything's so expensive, because they got to make their money back off their product. Yeah. And if I know statistically, last time I looked, okay, let's be real. Consoles, if they sell PlayStations and Xbox across the world, maximum, maybe 50 to 100 million people have consoles.
I think it's, the amount of subscribers that PlayStation have is 96 million, and the amount that Xbox has is 50 or 59.
So, man, but imagine.
But that's still
a lot of those subscriptions don't necessarily have to be on.
Yeah, that's just consoles. The subscriptions, right?
That's just the subscriptions.
Yeah, that's just.
That don't mean the consoles, my nigga. That's just.
Yeah, exactly. So
like they make money on your console breaking, you buying a new one. Yeah, I mean, but they still losing money to make their money on the games.
Yeah.
So then Dreamcast went under because they were losing money on the games. Dreamcast goes under. There's no competition at that point because between Nintendo 64 and the Nintendo GameCube, PlayStation was reigning champ. Dreamcast was the only competition, but they couldn't keep making games.
They fumbled.
And then PlayStation came out. They were coming out with the Part 2. But when they hit with the Part 2, guess who was there that nobody saw fucking coming? Microsoft came out of nowhere with a big black box with a green in the middle. It was like, what the hell is this shit? So that shit completely shitted on Nintendo, and PlayStation was like, what the fuck? We got competition, because they had came out and they were kind of running the shit on their own.
Yeah, because the PlayStation 2 was, I think, the highest selling console of all time.
That
still,
shit was retarded.
To this day.
That shit was dumb.
Yeah, so.
And I was like, I'm getting GameCube, fuck both of them. So then the Xbox came out and kind of changed everything, because Xbox introduced the PC world to the console world with shooters.
Yeah, Halo, it's totally blurred the lines. Shooters.
Completely changed everything, mm-hmm. and then was like, yo, we're gonna give you PC graphics on a console. And the only difference is a PC you can continuously upgrade a PC over time. You can't do that with a console until maybe further on when they start doing updates and shit like that on these new current systems. But back then, there was no online. Then the next phase, without trying to go through all this and drag out, the next phase was pretty much the Xbox 360, because the Xbox 360 then introduced us to online gaming. The online gaming was really only in fucking PC. And we'll get into what PC. PC is personal computers.
Right.
So a lot of gaming that was done before consoles, that if you really were a hardcore gamer coming from the 80s into the
PC, I mean, the 90s supreme.
Into 2000, PC was what you played on. The computer had superior looks and graphics and everything and all kind of stuff, strategy, all kind of stuff compared to a console. So if you were really a gamer, and this is even until today, most people consider console gamers, I mean PC gamers, personal computer gamers, the hardcore superior.
Yeah.
They are the creme de la creme. Like, if you have a personal computer, you playing hard, because I'm gonna put it out here monetarily. You probably invested in
a lot stacks, of money. Oh, stacks, my God.
Three, because 4, 5, 6, 7 over time. You're talking about years and years of
At one point, I was a PC gamer, and I think I spent way too much money, and I was probably about 18, 19, spending $2,000 on just a computer, just the computer. Not to mention the games, you know, switching out my graphics card, that was like $400, but my games were sickening.
So, sickening. To speak this up, basically, gaming has been around since the early 70s, and now it has evolved into this big thing, this big culture, this big money, multi-$100 billion industry that we're in. I'm not just talking about console games when you think about it, because now there's an underdog mobile that's games, making its way out. It's called mobile games, because casinos, there are billions of casino games, all that shit.
All of that.
All that. Everywhere you go, there's a form of game somewhere where you can play a game when you do something. Even your learning apps have turned into games.
Yep.
So, and there are billions of phones all over this planet, which is why mobile gaming is eventually going to reign supreme, because there's no way consoles and PC gamers can keep up with that platform, because it's an immense amount of accessibility.
Xbox is already making that move with this.
Yeah, they're going to have, they're converting over.
X-Cloud,
I told you, Fortnite was the beginning of the first game you see transitioning from console and PC over into a mobile platform and just be just as fluent. Man, I watched a little boy play fucking Fortnite on his tablet.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yo, I play Fortnite on my tablet. He plays on it, because I didn't know that it was the first game that allowed you to also cross-platform. Cross-platform means you can play the same game with people on a different console,
right?
PC
can play with all Xbox, different realms.
Before Fortnite,
yeah,
that was a game changer. Before Fortnite, you couldn't play across, like, you couldn't go Xbox to PlayStation.
Yeah,
you couldn't do that. You either play with the Xbox or you play. It was a divide.
Actually,
like
when they started doing that shit, I remember it being kind of shady. Like, okay. You know what, Xbox and PC gonna link up, and then mm-hmm. PlayStation is gonna have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Y'all, man, Fortnite changed the whole fucking game. Yeah. So when Fortnite came out, and they told people, it was pretty much like, you can play anything. I was watching a boy play Fortnite on a tablet in the airport.
But now, with shit, Xbox, you're gonna be able to play all types of shit on it. If you get that, service. Dude, I'm interested. I'm not even an Xbox person. I'm a PlayStation fanboy, just to clarify. But I'm excited to see what this xCloud thing is about. Because I want to play Fable on my phone.
This shit is addictive, because the thing about, okay, so we're moving the segue into the next part, the addiction. The fact, my discovery part about mobile devices are that the thing about a console is, you have to cut it off. When you cut it off, when you go places and you venture out in the world, you detach yourself from your console.
AFK, IRL. Right.
AFK, I don't know what the fuck AFK was.
Away from keyboard. IRL means in real life.
In real life. I know IRL. I know AFK. Away from keyboard. You fucking
PC gamer. PC gamer. Yeah.
But, because I realize you got to say PC, you got to let them know it's personal, because they think you're a politically correct gamer or some shit like that.
What? No, not politically correct.
No, just PC.
I mean, yes, but no.
No, not really. A lot of gamers aren't fucking politically correct.
At all.
So, mobile apps and Fortnite switching over like that, there's a slight superiority with tablets, because you can't do what it, like, for instance, remember what it was like with a mouse, with the aiming mechanism, with a mouse it was precise?
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, I'm using my finger.
Mm-hmm.
You can't aim better than my finger.
Right.
So, it's a lot more accessible, which is creating a higher level of addiction, because the addiction part, that is the part that I had to look at as a gamer. Gaming gave me a lot of good traits, like skills, as far as my analytical skills, mm-hmm. my memory, my ability to assess certain things, handle mm-hmm. certain things under pressure. Like, handling things under pressure become kind of exciting. Like, working in the service industry is mm-hmm. fun when we get in the weeds, because we used to that from video games.
Yeah,
because
we think in task, like, procedures. Like, what's your first, very first
task? Next mission, task, next task, versus, knock this mm-hmm. out, boom, boom, boom.
Yep.
Handling things and really not crashing. This gave me a lot of that, but the downfall of my gaming career was I was isolated.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a lot of time secluded from the world. It gave me this crazy adrenaline rush, an addiction that I didn't even realize. Like, it was stronger than marijuana, pussy, or anything other thing. Because, seriously.
Yeah, I can relate. I definitely have been in that dungeon, in my bed, in the same spot, on my laptop. Sickening, sickening laptop. I missed that thing. But just my dad will come in like, hey, you know, you gotta eat, right? Like, then the next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, my room smell bad. I was that guy. Yep.
So, and it really came from online gaming. Online gaming made it where you can connect with other people.
Yep.
And it started with personal computers, but when it got to consoles, it's just progressed and got bigger. And mm-hmm. then even when you think about tablets, because now, again, when you left the house, you would leave a game at home. Like, Your mom had to pay for a Game Boy or something like that for you to have a portable game. But now your cell phone is your portable game.
Mm-hmm.
So now children have constant access to these different games. And a lot of parents just give them these tablets for, like, attention span. Like, I don't feel like dealing with you
just
right now.
Just do something.
So, right, just find something to do. So it's the addiction level is starting to decrease. Online gaming emerging in 2000. With the introduction of the internet and the influx of the internet.
Right.
And then, like, as of 2009, like, it was over 3 million children that were addicted to gaming. And I'm one of them.
So, yeah, because we've all seen that video, that one dude where, like,
ooh, shit. Oh, you just made me flashback. Why did you do that? All of the fucking gaming raging videos. If
are
you
awesome,
want to see some
but
funny
horrible.
But disturbing shit, YouTube gamer rage.
You remember that kid that, like, stuck his remote up his butt when his mom took his game away?
No,
was,
I
like,
didn't see that.
Flapping all over the bed.
Man,
I've
seen
out.
So
You've
many
seen
different
it.
Videos of
it.
Kids breaking their console, breaking their video games, breaking their joysticks, throwing the shit out the TV, breaking TVs.
My brother was that
doing
kid.
Doing all kind of, bruh. I was never that kid, but
I love you, brother, but
shit,
nah,
but
he, I remember dude, one time he, I had to go to the emergency room and
anxiety,
he raged out.
irritable, mad, anxious.
Yeah.
Loss of time.
Oh, definitely that.
Neglecting interpersonal relationships.
My friends will tell you to this day, if a new game comes out, you know I'm going to be gone for 2 days. Like, I have to take 2 days off.
Social anxiety. My nigga, when we was in school, we would take, like, the whole week off.
Yeah, I would.
We would just miss, like, when a new game came out, all my gaming buddies, and, like, actually, I was going to school for game design, so that means everybody was in the games. So that means, like, when a new game came out, nobody was at school
mm-hmm.
in the gaming department. The entire gaming department was missing. They'd be like, yo, where is everybody? Nobody came to class today. I'm talking about, like, 15 to 20, 30-something students just didn't come to school because a new game came out.
Jeez.
Take off of work. I'd be like, yeah, I need to take these days off. I'm taking vacation time.
I definitely do that now.
Buy a big bag of weed for the weekend. Just go ham.
Most recently for
buy a pizza every day. Get a whole bunch of pizza and shit. Man, I was fat as hell.
me too.
It's all kind of weird. I did. I had withdrawal issues. I don't think my social anxiety. So waiting tables kept, like, balance for my social anxiety, man. But gaming addiction is real.
Yeah,
you recognize that it's real.
You gotta develop awareness.
It takes a certain level of discipline, and it also takes a high level of awareness. I have personally, that's my homeboy. I swear this dude's, I can't knock him because I was him, but it's kind of like an addict when you stop using a drug and you step back and you look at your friends who used the same, used to kick it when y'all used to use that drug. And then you look at them like, dog, it's like, man, how you functioning?
Right.
Like, how you functioning?
You still in there?
You doing that?
Yeah.
You get no sleep. None. Like, I don't get sleep now, but at least when I don't get no sleep, it's still quiet and sound.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I remember back in the day, that shit was bad, dude. We would play that shit to like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. See, your eyes couldn't look. Wait.
Till you can't keep your eyes open.
Have a chair, have a gaming chair in front, like in front of the shit, and then get when I get sleepy. The Xbox 360 was horrible. I'm sorry. Xbox One was horrible, and the 360, because basically we'd go, okay, we finish y'all? Yeah. Turn around, climb on the sofa, hit the button, flip to the other app, and go to Netflix, Hulu, or something else, turn on the streaming app, and then take maybe like a 4, 5, 3, however long, depending on what time we quit.
Get up and get right back to it. Yeah.
Roll over, hit the guide button, see who goes on. Okay, let's get back to it. If you, that's if your homeboys weren't calling you because they woke now, and it's like, come on, let's go again. I'm up. And then you going for another 10, 15.
I can't lie, I do miss that life, but it's so unhealthy. It's so unhealthy. If I could do, if I could be in two places at once, one of me would be in the
game. And that's the part about it. When I go back into it and I try to get into it, it's hard because I realize how much you have to engulf yourself to really just appreciate any game. You can't play a video game for 2 hours. You can't play a video game for 3 hours.
Not as a gamer. A real gamer, no.
A real gamer, you have to invest a minimum of a fucking work day into it. And then you be like, yo, I'm tired. Like, hold on, I gotta take a break. Give me an hour.
Especially from my RPG years, if you know.
Hell yeah.
If you give me a character creation, the first 2 hours is me creating my character.
Yeah, and character. Yeah. And then the storylines, it's like you watching a movie.
Yeah.
You engulfed in this movie for hours and you don't realize you in this suspended world doing crazy shit.
I'm still working on not getting sucked into the vortex, but it's so hard now with these games coming out. Like, the games coming out right now are bananas.
Yeah, that's tough on y'all. Because here's my thing with mobile gaming. Mobile games have a limit to it because their money is based on time and cutting you off. So I make my money off of you buying resets and shit like that. So if you don't invest money in the game, You have to wait.
You have to wait. You have to get off of it.
You have to quit.
Yeah, I know. There's once a you buy this game, you've got...
You can probably ride a mobile game
hours
off
of gameplay just open.
You can play a mobile game for an hour, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45. Because a lot of it is just checking in and out, checking in and out, checking in and out. A console PC game, you get engulfed in. But here's the other side that I appreciate. And I don't want to just... Like, we explained the history. It is an addiction. It has some negative aspects. But if you can manage it and learn to handle it well, there is now a positive side to this because it is a fucking booming market that any child that invests the time, if your child, and I'm gonna say this, if you have a child that plays video game, do not knock them for playing the game. Help them improve. Help them create a discipline. Give them cutoff limits. Treat it like a work day. We have them do other stuff before they get to it. And they have to study these games that they play.
Yeah.
Learn the history behind it. Learn who's making the game. Study the game. And then record these. I know Twitch.
Yeah.
And game tournaments.
Caffeine.
And caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
And Mixer. Mm-hmm. Revenue. Your child can make their own money at a very young age, and you can start teaching them monetization. And if you don't understand that, this is something that you need to learn, because then you can help your child learn this at a younger age and start conquering these issues that we have and we're facing now as an adults, and especially in this political, in this climate that we're in right now.
Yeah.
So instead of saying to your child, like, oh my God, why do you play this? say you should take some time to get into it. Don't knock the game.
Yeah.
If it's something they're passionate about, help them learn them to the point. I think I'm hogging. I think I'm bigger than this.
No, you're good. But I think, yeah, that's another thing that's a misconception. It's like people think that games are like, you know,
self-destructive and destructive.
Yeah.
No.
You don't understand the amount of thought that sometimes goes into these.
Development of these games, man. This thing is, and it's a lot of the thought is deep, man.
Yeah.
So.
And logical as shit.
We getting over time. You know, was there a Cosmos? We're going to cut
that. A short one. Okay, a short one. We can do a short one real quick. All right, so into the Cosmos. So yeah, we've got 5 full moons left of the year. Okay, I told y'all this last 6 months. Remember, we're working on our restoring our karma. You should have some pretty intense feelings the next couple weeks because we're going through the Lionsgate portal. It starts August 8th. Super high frequency energy. You're gonna third eye probably be bust wide open if it hasn't already. We're all ascending. We all have bold ass energy. Be mindful of the fact that everybody's energy right now is extremely high level. So when you're dealing with people, be more sensitive that everybody's going through. Be more sensitive to everyone's perceptions when you're dealing with other people. And yeah, work on connecting. Connect with the people that you would never have thought that you would connect with. Open up. We all have to like transform, and the only way we can transform is if we throw shit into the pot. And you throw shit into the pot by connecting.
I'm the don't connect in this bitch.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk featuring Asiya.
Ooh, bust it.
Asiya. Okay. All right, that's all the time we got.
Light bulb moment. Y'all be good, man. Appreciate y'all, man. I hope y'all got something from this. Thank y'all for listening to our stories. Addiction is real in all forms of fashion. But if you create a healthy balance,
Yeah, if you're a gamer, learn some shit. I had to learn some shit. And we're going to get into that next episode.
Next episode. To be continued. Be back. Check us out. Light bulb moment.
Peace.